Well, Dr. Tennant is telling us with enough voltage and raw materials, the body can heal almost anything. And we'll be back with him and Dr. Mark Starr in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jerry, have you measured all major organs of the body and you know what their voltage should be?
Well, all of them run at the same voltage.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, every cell in the body is designed to run between minus 20 and minus 25 millivolts in adults.
Well, that makes it easy then, doesn't it?
Yeah, and now kids will run closer to 30, 35 millivolts, or very athletic adults will, but all of the cells run at the same voltage.
Have you ever noticed anybody who can physically change their voltage with thought?
I haven't actually measured, you know, done that experiment to measure them and have them think about it and see if we could change it. But one of the things I would tell you, share with you is this. And I was discussing this with Dr. Starr previously. If you almost always, as I mentioned, the thyroid goes down and then you use your adrenals to push through the day and then eventually they go down. So you'll occasionally see somebody with the thyroid down and the adrenals still working, even though most of the time it's both of them down. But if you see somebody with the thyroid normal and the adrenals down, that's almost always an emotional issue. Now, our emotions, our personalities are developed actually during the 9 months of pregnancy. What happens is that at the 32 cell stage, the embryo develops a thickening called the neural plate. And almost immediately, which is very, very early in the pregnancy, that begins to respond to its environment, which is mom. So if mom puts out happy hormones, the embryo is happy. If mom puts out angry hormones, the embryo becomes angry, etc. And so we develop our pattern of how we respond to our environment actually during those 9 months. And then that is like a DVD player that plays 24 hours a day for the rest of our life.
Yep, that's true.
Without any knobs on it. So Dr. DeRusso has actually figured out a way to go back and put knobs on that DVD and re-record those things. And I do that regularly in my office. And so when I see people who have these emotional things, I go back and work with them for usually 20, 30 minutes. We'll fix it. And that does indeed change the voltage.
Fascinating. Okay, let's take some more calls. We'll go to Lakewood, Colorado, west of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Dr. Starr?
Yes.
I have hypothyroidism for the last 10 years. I've been seeing a VA doctor. I'm having sleep deprivation for like 5 to 6 years now. I can't get any help from these doctors. I have an appointment with you in January, but at this point, being out of school, I don't have any money. So I'm unemployed at this time. Still trying to get work. You know, don't mean to sound like a sob story, but I was wondering, you know, you never know until you ask, there might be some simple answer to this. Do you have anything to add? What I have to do is take myself off the medication a little bit, enough to get into the REM. And after I'm off it for like 3 to 4 days, I start to sleep maybe 3 or 4 hours straight. And it's ruined me.
And tell me what medication you're speaking of that you have to get off.
Right now, Cytomel, 75 milligrams, and that's basically what I'm on.
Ah.
And I tried Armor, which worked well until after about 6 months, I started getting heat sensitivity. I don't know. Of course, it knocked off my testosterone levels. I have to take a shot every 2 weeks.
Well, gosh, there are so many things.
Yeah.
Have you measured the thyroid antibodies?
That's what I asked doctors to do, and they tend to refuse. They just want to do the standard 3T4 TSH.
What would that test do, Mark?
Well, I have to admit, I think I was a little bit remiss because I didn't go over the treatment of Hashimoto's, which is thyroid antibodies. The body's attacking its own thyroid gland. Most people and doctors don't have access to all the wonderful things Dr. Tennant has, and those patients often don't tolerate the desiccated thyroid because it's exactly the same composition as their own thyroid. So I had a doctor call from Canada, and she wasn't too pleased because her 70-year-old diabetic woman had asked her to please put her on desiccated thyroid. She started retaining fluid and getting worse instead of better, and I asked her if she checked her antibodies, and she said, well, that wasn't in your book. So I now have something on my website under treatment to cover the Hashimoto's. But I would recommend everybody read Dr. Tennant's book. I didn't hear that mentioned yet. He goes over almost everything that can be wrong with the body in his book. I think it should change the way medicine, it should, it may not, because of all the dogma and so on. But I don't know, George, if you know about Dr. Tennant's book. It's now available, and you should have
it. Yeah, we talked about it the first hour before.
Oh, you did. Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But he covers many more things than I do in his book. And, you know, it has to do with teeth. It has to do with infections. It has to do with having enough fat to store voltage. I didn't hear Dr. Tennant speak about the good fats yet.
Well, what do you recommend Paul do? Little old Paul.
Well, he's welcome to come see me, and I can.
I have a question, if I may.
I have a lot of
time. Is there a particular time of day or time of night that you wake up, or is it that you just can't go to sleep?
I have a problem initiating sleep. And then if once I do, I only sleep for maybe an hour or two, a cat nap, and I get up.
Maybe adrenals, huh, Barry?
I had him check the cortisol, the baseline, and of course, this has been years ago. That was okay. I told him check for Schmidt syndrome or Addison's, and they just don't seem to care to do any of the other tests.
Well, I'm sorry. People who wake up about 2 a.m., after just a few hours of sleep, typically have adrenal deficiency because that's when the adrenal hormones bottom out, and that the adrenal tests are not all that accurate, just like the thyroid test. So, and 75, you said 75 micrograms of Cytomel?
Right.
Yeah, that is a big dose.
Yeah.
For instance, the average adult dose of the desiccated thyroid is 3 grains, and there are only 27 micrograms of Cytomel in the 3 grains of thyroid.
Yeah, I was taking Armour. It was of 120 milligram of that.
2 grains.
The grain is what, 60 milligram?
Yeah.
Like, 1 grain.
Well,
I am just, you know, I don't want
to. I would recommend
there's something
checking
that
the
you could try.
Hold on, you guys. You're stepping on each other. So you go ahead, Jerry.
I was just going to say there's sometimes this works and it's, you know, until you can get into C-Mark and get worked up. We have some essential oil blends that will help with each of those terminals that we talked about. And then there's one called Sweet Dreams that often will help get people off to sleep when your brain just is chattering and won't shut down.
Jerry, one of the big problems, a lot of people are just chronically fatigued, like Paul. They have all kinds of problems. Again, voltage.
Yep, at voltage, and of course, as I think you figured out from what Mark and I are both saying, is that when the thyroid is low, the voltage is low, and then right behind that comes the adrenal failure. So you'll have to fix both of those, and then of course, a lot of people, when they feel bad, their voltage is low, their digestion isn't working because they have low voltage in the gut, so they're not absorbing nutrients.
It seems too simple, is it?
Well, simple, but most truths are simple, aren't they?
Yeah.
But what I was suggesting is that one of the things, you know, essential oils are very powerful, and they do something we haven't gotten into tonight.
What do you mean by essential oils?
Well, if you take a plant and you expose it to pressure and carbon dioxide, then the fats in the plant will come out as an oil, and those are called essential oils. And they're one of the oldest forms of medicine. For example, in the Bible, it talks about the three wise men bringing frankincense and myrrh to the Christ child.
Sure.
The frankincense is an essential oil. Myrrh is an essential oil. And so the plants have molecules that run at the same frequency as the human. So when you take these concentrated oils out of the plants and put them on the human, they will help correct the frequencies in the various organs. And so you can take people that, can't lift their arm and put essential oils on them, and 5 minutes later their arm works fine. So there are some dramatic things you can accomplish with oils. And so I was just suggesting that that's
a possible solution to give him some relief until he can get in to where Mark can actually work him up and figure out what's really going on.
Yeah, and you guys are very closely related to the thoughts of Edgar Cayce. You know, when he was doing his readings and he came up with some of his holistic suggestions, he used to talk about radionics, for example, you know, the ability, the voltage again in your system. Very close. I mean, you're probably onto something, Jerry.
Well, it's been working for quite a long time. I've been doing this about 10 years, a little over 10 years now, and it works every day.
All right, next up, it's Elizabeth's turn in Ontario on the international line. Hello, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Good evening, George and doctors. I have a question about something you were talking about earlier. You were saying that Synthroid, people that take Synthroid often don't convert to T3, a problem that a lot of us have. We still can't lose weight because we can't make the T3 with the Synthroid. Can't tolerate the natural Synthroid, the natural desiccated thyroid. What would you suggest to bring up the T3 in a case like that?
That's for you, Mark.
Oh, Dr. Tennant's done more research than I. He teaches me that glutathione
does it? All right.
And all
right.
Sorts of stuff. I'd let him in.
Take it away, Jerry.
Well, the conversion process requires at least these things: iodine, selenium, zinc, iron, progesterone.
Do you do that in a supplement form?
Yeah. And cortisol and glutathione. So if you, the way I do it in my office, you can tell, for example, if you're selenium or zinc depleted by just putting a drop of those on your tongue. And if it tastes terrible, then you have enough. And if it doesn't, then you need some. So it's a quick and easy way to figure out if you're zinc and selenium depleted. Everybody is iodine depleted unless you eat seaweed every day, so obviously you're going to need that. And then as far as the cortisol, you can tell generally by looking at the blood pressure, and I use a questionnaire to look at hormones. By the way, this is something anybody can do. If you go to my website and go to the link for patient forms and download my patient registration form, within that are some questionnaires about hormones. And if you go through and answer those and you have any score that's in the 20s, you've got a problem with that one. So it's something that's easy for you to do to figure out if you've got that problem. So if you've got a score, the high score for adrenals, then you're going to obviously need that. And then as far as glutathione is concerned, glutathione is something you can't take in a pill form because it's not absorbed. It's made from 3 amino acids, and so if you have stomach acid and are digesting your proteins, you'll make glutathione, and that system will work. If it doesn't, there are pills that you can take that have the 3 amino acids in them or something that works for glutathione. I use the one called OSR for people that where I need to be sure that their glutathione is working. So I guess what the answer to your question is, you've just got to be sure you have that list of things. I tend to give people iodine, a thing called hyposupport, and then adrenal, desiccated adrenal, and then if I need to, the OSR, and that way I'm sure they're going to convert.
All right. Does that
help?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Very helpful.
So a lot of these, though, you can do in a supplement form, right,
yep.
Jerry?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Bruce in Pennsylvania. There you go, Bruce. You're up. Go ahead.
Yes, doctor. I was wondering, has this been tried by the military, or would you consider trying this by the military or something like that, where building blocks are not a problem?
Well, we do have one of the major military hospitals, Army hospitals, is actually in the middle of a study for pain. And that study will be complete probably in the next month or two and then be published. It's difficult to get big organizations to try something different. We're hopeful that once we've proven that it works for pain, that they'll take a look at using it for other illnesses, but who knows?
Okay, back to the more of the calls. We'll go to Brenda in Houston. You're up with us, first-time caller. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, George. Back in 1999, my husband and I lost triplets to a disease called Candida chloramnionitis. And then in 2002, I developed another rare disease called neurosarcoidosis, where I had a brain lesion under my brain. And then after that, they reduced all that with steroids, high-dose steroids. And then in 2008, I mysteriously developed scoliosis, severe scoliosis. And I've had many root canals. And I also have gastrointestinal problems. I take Nexium. And I thought I heard the doctor say that he was in Dallas. And I was wondering if there's a way I could get to see him, or if I can't get an appointment with him, what can I do to try to get some of this stuff? I mean, I'll get the...
All right, well, let's find out. Jerry, do you take patients?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to help you with this problem. All you need to do is call my office, and that number is 972-580-1156.
You better do that one more time, Jerry.
972-580-1156.
And I'll get the websites out once again. They're linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Dr. Jerry Tennant's website is tennantinstitute.com, T-E-N-N-A-N-T, institute.com. Mark Starr's 21centurymed.com. Let's go to another call before the break. We'll go to Jan in Brooklyn. Hey, Jan, go ahead.
Hi. I have a comment and a question.
All right.
And I agree totally with Dr. Tennant that voltage is the key. And I have a couple of electromagnetic machines that have helped me unbelievably. Like, I got a relapse of polio and I couldn't walk. And just by turning on a radionics with the polio frequency, I was able to walk, and I'm practically fine now. It's really amazing.
Good for you.
And also, thanks. And also, my girlfriend had low thyroid, and luckily she's going to be okay. And she developed cancer. So, you know, there was a link. Probably there is a link there. And my question is this. In dental work, a lot of people don't realize when they get a crown, one-third of the crown is metal, and they use different kind of metals, and there's an electro-galvanized effect. And what did he think about that voltage?
All right. This would be you, Jerry.
Yeah, would you ask me the question again about...
What do you think about in crowns, different metals are used? Does that affect the voltage?
Well, yes. Look, the way you create a battery is that you take a solution that will conduct electrons and you put two different metals in it. So commonly they'll use zinc and copper. And because if you have two different metals in a ionic solution, then electrons will move from one metal to the other, and that gives you a battery. Well, if you have two different metals in your mouth because your saliva is an ongoing, an ionic solution, you have just created a battery inside your mouth. And the electrons move from one place to the other.
Well, that's a good point.
The biggest problem with crowns, I mean, there is an issue with the problem with the metals, but the biggest problem with crowns is that the usual scenario is that you have a little tiny cavity, the dentist removes a third of your tooth in order to make undercuts so that a mercury filling doesn't fall out, and he puts mercury in there. Well, the tooth has been weakened, and over time, the tooth fractures down the side, so the dentist says, well, you need a crown.
And you definitely don't want that mercury. We're going to come right back, Jerry and Mark, and take final calls. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, split show, floating format. First couple hours, we're going to talk about monsters, the serial killer type. And then later on, we're going to talk about monsters, the creature type, on Coast to Coast AM. Let's come right back, and we'll go right back to the calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Jerry Tennant and Mark Starr. Jerry, can the biomodulator be a predictor of a future illness before it's even occurred?
Yeah, the first thing that goes down in cells is voltage. And then soon after that, you'll begin to get a change in blood tests. And then after that, you get symptoms. So the early warning sign is a drop in voltage, and you may see that long, you know, and still have normal blood tests. And then oftentimes people have abnormal blood tests but still no symptoms.
So if you see the voltage drop, you might be able to attack the problem.
Sure. Well, and I mean, it's obvious. If you go into your kitchen and you stick a voltmeter into the wall and it measures 90 volts, and that's the plug you have your refrigerator plugged into, guess what's going to happen to your refrigerator? It's going to burn up.
Yeah, not going to work. Sandra's in Houston. Go ahead, Sandra. Thanks for holding.
Thank you so much. I'll make this very quick. I know you have a lot of people waiting. Thank you so much for this program.
Sure.
I just had a couple of questions, doctors, if you could, you know, just share with me. You know, it's almost like these institutions are building in obsolescence into our bodies by mandating that we can only have certain treatments for cancer, fluoride in the toothpaste and mouthwash, and, you know, also antiperspirants. A doctor apparently had put on one of the medical websites that the toxins that are ventilated through the armpits, by putting antiperspirant, you're putting yourself at risk for, you know, those toxins going elsewhere, you know, and breast cancer and things like that with, you know, and given the fact more and more men are getting breast cancer. But could you please, you know, tell us what we can do about it to change this so we have, you know, some patient rights? I really appreciate it, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Move to Ecuador. No, I mean, you know, unfortunately, most of this stuff is about the money, isn't it? For example, the reason they put MSG in our food is because MSG is addicting. It's more addicting, perhaps, than nicotine. So when the food manufacturers put MSG into your food and addicts you to it, then you keep wanting to buy more of it, so they sell more. And, of course, they hide it in there by giving it other names, like textured vegetable protein and those kinds of things.
Well, then it's like they're changing the name of aspartame now, too. Same thing.
So they can hide it. And aspartame, of course, is very addicting. It's addicting just like nicotine. So the reason they use high fructose corn syrup, which is a major, major cause of obesity in this country, is that it's cheaper than sugar. So it's all about the money, and unfortunately, you know, there's nobody minding the store for us. The best you can do is read labels and try to buy things from markets, from farmers. But even that's a problem, because I just read a news article this week where they are raiding farmers who are selling their products to individuals instead of stores, and they're taking away their produce and their computers and things. So it's getting hard. It's really hard to get good nutrition in this country, and I don't have a solution for it.
What, no more farmers markets, Jerry?
Well, I just read that the FDA has greatly increased the rating of farmers who are selling direct to the public. They're actually going out to their farms and taking away their produce and their computers and things.
Jeez. Mark Starr, what do you think is the single biggest problem caused because of hypothyroidism?
Caused from it?
Yeah. What do you think the biggest issue is?
Oh, gosh. Fatigue and weakness are number one on the list of low thyroid symptoms. Joint and muscle pain is not a very distant second or third. So arthritis, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes. Cancer is twice as likely to happen when you're low thyroid. But Dr. Tennant's book covers the whole gamut of all the things we're talking about as far as toxins and how to avoid it and what causes cancers. And it's just he has a huge discussion about all the medicines and hospital errors and basically, you know, how to stay healthy. It's an amazing compilation of research.
Super.
I don't think there's anything that can touch it as far as understanding how we got to where we are and how can we get out of it.
Jerry, are you a big booster of supplements?
Well, I wish I could say no, but I have to say yes. And the reason is what we were just discussing, and that is our food supply doesn't have much nutrition left. And so for a perfect good example is if you take cane sugar manufacturers or growers, they take the cane sugar, which contains lots of minerals, and they extract those minerals so they can sell them separately from the sugar. So now, you know, if a person is deficient in minerals, they crave sweets because their body needs minerals. Because in nature, everything that's sweet has a lot of minerals in it. But when we go get something sweet, all the minerals have been taken out. So you have to take those in supplement form because you just can't get them in the food supply anymore.
Good point. Back to the phones we go. Mira Lee in California. Hi, Mira Lee.
Hi.
There you
Thanks
go.
Thanks for taking my call, George and doctors. I have a couple questions real quick. My husband was diagnosed with extensive prostate cancer about a year and a half ago, and it's been almost 1 year that he had a type of surgery called cryogenics, where they freeze the prostate.
Yeah.
Now he has so much more severe chronic pain, and they just diagnosed him with fibromyalgia. What do you suggest there that we do?
So my question is, what causes pain?
That's what we're trying to find out. It's all in his joints and his muscles and his nerve endings.
Remember,
we don't know. Pardon?
Remember that pain is simply a symptom of low voltage. So if you want to fix pain, you got to fix the voltage.
Got to fix the voltage. And by doing that, we would get the biomodulator.
Well, of course, I'm biased, but that's my favorite way of fixing things. But, again, you look, for example, if a person has hypothyroidism, then all of their circuits are going to be low voltage, and you're going to have to fix that with thyroid therapy, not just with the biomodulator. You can wear the biomodulator 24 hours a day as a portable battery pack, if you please, but you really have to fix it. If the voltages are low because of thyroid, you got to fix that with...
Okay, should we have his thyroid checked by his doctor?
Well, remember that 90% of hypothyroid people have normal blood tests. So
yes,
you can easily check it yourself.
With.
Just put a thermometer at your bedside, and when he wakes up in the morning, throw the covers off for 4 or 5 minutes, and then take the temperature. If it's below 97.8, he's hypothyroid.
Below 97.8. Okay. I myself I am going to the doctors tomorrow. They did a thyroid test on me last month, so I'm waiting for the results to come back. I have hypertension. I've had it since I was 20 years old. I'm now 40. I'm also hypoglycemic, and I'm allergic to all those, like the Splenda and the Sweet and Low and the Equal. I cannot have any... of those artificial sweeteners, they make me sick.
Well, they make everybody sick, just not everybody knows it. But, you know, aspartame is a neurotoxin. When they first started researching the NutraSweet, they gave it to 7 monkeys. 2 of them had seizures. No, 2 of them died. 3 of them had seizures. And encouraged by such good results, they gave it to mice, and 46% of the mice had brain cancer.
Yeah, and then they approved it.
And so... You know, you're fortunate that it's not possible for you to take those because they're poisonous. Splenda is a really great ant killer. If you go out and spread Splenda on an ant den, it'll kill all the ants in it because it's a pesticide.
Mark, what do you recommend for a special thermometer for this thyroid test under the arm?
There's one called Geratherm, Geratherm. It's a mercury substitute thermometer, and it works a whole lot better than the digital thermometers. You can look it up online, and I think a number of the pharmacies are carrying it these days.
A lot of what you hear tonight, by the way, Dr. Jerry Tennant has put in his book, Healing is Voltage, and Mark Starr has in his book, Hypothyroidism Type 2, The Epidemic. Let's go back to final calls. Jennifer is in Panama City, Florida. Hey, good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, my question is, since my early 20s, I'm 35 now, I've been battling with low thyroid and then high thyroid. And so I go back and forth. 2 or 3 times a year, my thyroid will raise and just go through the roof. But I also notice at the same time, I get those, you know, manic episodes that go with bipolar at the same time when my thyroid increases. So I was wondering if the thyroid raising is causing the manic episodes or if it's the manic episodes causing the thyroid to rise.
Well, the first question is your thyroid high on the blood test or do you become you get rapid heartbeat and tremor and all the stuff that is.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm always being tested because I do have, you know, nodules and stuff like that. But they just mainly just test the TSH and the T4.
Right. Well, you need to check your basal temperature because you may just be low thyroid. And one of the main target of low voltage and low metabolism is the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Tennant has all the vitamins that are necessary to make neurochemicals. So mm-hmm. when you're low thyroid, your voltage is as low, and typically people like you have some stomach problems as well. So you need lots of nutrition as well as thyroid. But the problem is they're diagnosing you just by the thyroid blood test. They give you more thyroid, and then they say you're on too much, and then they you come back again, and they decrease the dosage, and now you were low thyroid, and you feel worse.
Right.
And they chase the blood test, which is
what
my book is about, and I'm sure Dr. Tennant has issues on that in his book as well.
But is there a connection between the manic episodes of, you know, the increasing in thyroid hormone, or is that just something separate altogether, or I'm just maybe linking the two, you know, incorrectly?
Well, low thyroid can cause bipolar illness. It can cause any psychiatric illness. I have one case study in my book where a lady would take a little cortisol because her adrenals were low, and it would make her bipolar episode stop immediately when she felt it coming on. So, you know, again, the adrenals and the thyroid work very closely together. And for them to work properly, Dr. Tennant named all the vitamins and minerals you need. So, you know, check your basal temperature and try to find a doctor who treats patients instead of blood tests.
And, Jerry, who was the pioneer in the research on voltage and electricity? Was it Becker or before that?
Well, the original pioneer, you have to go all the way back to early Egyptians. They actually, all of the pyramids are designed as magnetic chambers, and the headdresses they wore were antennas, and they were treating themselves even that long ago. But then in modern times, it was Lakowski in Paris. He came, of course, in the mid-1800s.
In your research, do shamans practice this at all?
Well, that's a question we probably don't have time to get into, because we start getting into how atoms in the universe work and how you can communicate at distance and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
That's a long discussion.
But you can, can't you?
Sure. Yeah, that's in his book, too. By the way, just I wanted a couple of things before we run out of time. I wanted to be sure that people are aware of a couple of things. One is that macular degeneration is a huge problem in this country. And if we can get people with vision of 20/70 or better, we get almost all of those back to 20/20 or 20/25. And as an ophthalmologist, it's the only treatment I know that's really effective for macular degeneration. Second thing I wanted to mention is that we have this huge epidemic of autism in this country now. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 out of 50 boys is becoming autistic. And Dr. Shauna Young has done a great service in showing that the primary cause for autism is manganese, which is deposited in the brain, and then when you come and put mercury and aluminum, et cetera, on top of it, then you've got an autistic kid. The primary source of manganese is soy. So most of the autistic kids have been on soy infant formula, and one of the problems with soy infant formula, other than it having
And now it's genetically modified.
Yeah, and see, a kid shouldn't have more than 0.5 milligram of manganese a day because they can't excrete it, and soy has like 1,400 milligrams a day. But in addition, soy infant formula is the same as giving a child 15 birth control pills per day.
Let's go to Chris in San Francisco, first-time caller. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm wondering, I'm a vegetarian, and I'd like to know what I can do to retain more iodine and zinc from my diet. I'm told that in developing countries, iodine and zinc isn't usually a problem in our diet, but for a diabetic, it might be difficult to retain them.
Would this be supplements, Jerry?
Well, first of all, as far as vegans are concerned, I don't think I've ever measured normal voltage in a vegan.
And I have a friend who, Dr. Frank Schallenberger up in Reno, who measures, he has equipment to measure mitochondrial function in cells, and he says he's never had a normal test in vegans either. So I think it's difficult to be completely healthy and be a vegan. For example, somewhere around 14% of cell membrane is supposed to be made up of arachidonic acid, and there is no vegetable source for that. So so I have to question the wisdom of being a pure vegan. Now, I do believe that, you know, we should be eating smaller amounts of meat than is normally done in this country. But everybody, I think, needs some. Having said that, the our soils are basically depleted of iodine, and essentially the only people that are not iodine deficient in the United States are those who eat seaweed every day. And, of course, eating is a problem because it contains lots of mercury. As far as zinc's concerned, our soils are pretty well depleted of zinc as well, and the problem is that zinc and cadmium work in the body interchangeably, and for our fertilizers contain lots of cadmium because they get the phosphates from metal plating industry, which has cadmium in it.
And if you have any questions at all about what Dr. Jerry Tennant has been talking about or Dr. Mark Starr, Jerry's put it all in his work called Healing is Voltage. Mark has in Hypothyroidism too. Thanks so much, both of you, for being on the program. Great job. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.